Father had to have faith that his son would do right. Jesus had to be our champion, and his son won that battle. Hallelujah. But I want you to know the price for salvation was not cheap. And every time you and I invest in the kingdom of God, we are coming to agreement. So when we're talking about investing for souls, we're putting our all in it. Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. Well, this morning, the word of the Lord has been burning within my spirit. It's found in the Gospel of John, the 5th chapter. The theme this year, basically, is let God arise. And as we've talked about that particular statement, we've looked at it from two perspectives. Let God arise, in terms of God arise and do something. Well, we've looked at it from the other perspective, which is the most important perspective, is me allowing God to arise. The fact is that God, the God who is altogether good, is manifesting his glory in the heavens. Everything God does first of all in the heavens. And then we have to download it to be made manifest in the earth. The Lord will say to us that he can't do anything except what he sees the Father doing. And that the will of the Father is what he came to finish. This is the finishing point. Let me say that again. The earth is the finishing point of that which is already done. Let me say it again. The earth, the world, is the finishing point of what God has already done in the heavens. Amen. Yes. Amen. So let thy kingdom come, let thy will be done in the earth as it is what? In heaven. If it is as it is in heaven, then the will of God is already done in heaven. And we're wanting that will of God that is done already in heaven, which is his perfect will, to be done in the earth. Praise the Lord. Now, the way we ultimately download that information from above down here is our expression of thanksgiving for what has already been done. It is done already. I thank you, thank you, thank you. You've done it. And then it manifests itself here. Thanksgiving. Wholeness is established in our expressions of thanksgiving to the Lord for what he has already done. Now, if that is the case, then there is the fact that there are things that are already done that are not manifest yet, and that there is a waste of time. There is a waste of time. We all fall to some extent or the other to that place of wasting of time or delay. And many times we have reasons why we are waiting for something that's already done? Well, primarily because we don't want to go ahead of God. Because there's a timing for everything. There's a season for everything. Which means then that we need to have certain capacities. The capacity to be discerning, to know when the timing is, and the capacity to see. In other words, not to be blind. We need to be able to see. And having seen, imitate. Did you hear that? We see and we imitate. Now, you can be waiting and stay in the posture of waiting. You're waiting for the bus to come. But you're so engrossed in the act of waiting that the bus comes and you don't get into the bus that you were waiting for. So the Lord will say, do not miss the day of your visitation. Are we together so far? There are things that we miss because we did not go at the time that is perfectly ordained of God for us to do certain things. And when you miss it, you have to go through the process again. But why do I have to go through a process that I don't need to go through again? Why am I repeating grade one when I know everything in grade one already? It's pointless. I've just wasted another year because I should be in grade two. But I'm still in grade one. Well, sometimes you might want to be in grade one because in grade one, that's where you met all of your friends, but now your friends are going to grade two while you thought they were going to stay in grade one. Now you start complaining about them leaving you. Why did you leave? No, because I left because it is time for me to move. The cloud is moving. I'm moving with it. That I like this place so much does not mean staying stuck. Unfortunately, that's what happens many times. We lose our timing. Imagine Tarzan missing the rope they're supposed to swing with. He will fall flat to the ground. He got to go with the timing. But thank God for mercy. Somebody say mercy. God sometimes comes and says, okay, you've gone around this mountain too many times. It's time to move. It says in John 5, after this, there was a feast of the Jews. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Went up to Jerusalem at the time of the feast. We just celebrated three different feasts. And this was a particular feast that Jesus came to. And during this feast, the Bible says, he came to Jerusalem. He's going to celebrate the feast with them. But as he went up to Jerusalem, he sees something in the realm of the Spirit. The Father was doing something in the realm of the Spirit that was beyond the feast. but I was going to bring a festival experience to somebody or to a group of people. He says, now there is at Jerusalem where he went to, by the sheep market, a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda. Bethesda. Bethesda means the house of mercy. The house of mercy. Bethesda. And it says that in Bethesda, this house of mercy, or you might call it the house of kindness, there were five porches. Five, we know very well, is the number of grace. But there are five porches. Now, these porches were porches that were built during the time of Solomon, King Solomon. And it was at the east side of the temple. The east side of the temple. The east is a place of the rising. Are you with me? I know I'm talking real slow this morning. That means I really, really want you to pay attention. Not that there is a time that I don't want you to pay attention, but I want you to hear something. There's this place of the five porches. Now, this particular five porches, like I said, were attached to the temple on the east side. Now, when the temple was destroyed by the Babylonians, these five porches were left. And these five porches were basically antiquities. And King Agrippa was taking care of these porches, made sure that nothing was wrong with it. However, there were all these people that were finding shelter in the porches. And the Bible tells us, it says, in this lay a great multitude of impotent folk. They were impotent folk. They were blind. They were halt. In other words, they were crippled. They were withered. Muscles were shrunk and couldn't function as they should. And they were waiting for the moving of the water in the place of the porches, in the place where grace was supposed to be. Those porches could have been destroyed, but they were not destroyed. And is it not interesting that many times we find solace, comfort, shelter in that which is good, but we get stuck waiting? When the Lord spoke to me about speaking from this passage, he kept on poking me in this particular direction. He says, too many of my children are busy waiting when grace enables. We're waiting. There's nothing wrong with waiting. But you don't need to wait when grace is available to do the will of God in your life. I'm waiting. And God is waiting. And you're waiting. We're both waiting. And then nothing happens. And lo and behold, 38 years later, we're still waiting. But grace is sufficient. The capacity to operate in a change that God has preserved. The Babylonians destroyed everything, but the five porches. Grace has always been around. In the Old Testament, it was there. In the New Testament, it's there. Grace is always available. The kindness of God is always available. But I'm impotent. I am blind. I'm halt. I am withered. And I'm waiting. For what? For the moving of the water. For the moving of the water. Why? Because an angel came at the feast time and disturbed the water, create commotion in the water. And whoever got there first and stepped into that water that was troubled got healed. You know, a lot of people get super blessed in the time of trouble. When, do you know how many great things happened in the time of trouble when we were going through the COVID situation? Not only did we do stuff here during that time, but so many churches, ministries, when the doors were shut, had resources that they had not received before. Trouble does not mean the end of you. Sometimes trouble is a setup for growth and increase, for change. Are you listening? Not every storm brings disaster. Sometimes you need some rain. You need some thunder, some lightning. It makes life exciting. Sunny days are great, but seasons make life interesting. Change of seasons. And so it was that at this particular time, because God, the feast days, those feast days of God, they are portal times that God does particular things. That's why it's important not to miss those feast days, because they are not Jewish holidays. They are God festivals. Those are times that God zeroes in the world and wants to do particular things and extend grace, establish things, force things that should have happened that have not happened. He comes in there and forces them into place. But wait a minute. I don't know if you notice. It says that during these feast times, a particular certain season, the pool gets troubled, and whosoever first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever. It didn't matter what the disease was. They were made whole. They received their healing. Whether they were blind, deaf, crippled, had heart problems, whatever it was, their problem was solved by just stepping into the water after it was troubled. Now the word of God goes forth and says, but there was a certain man who was there which had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. I like that statement, in that case. Because a case means a situation. But a case also means a box of limitation that you carry around. It's a case. A case encases something. It surrounds and holds something. This man had been held up for 38 years. I wonder what situation I'm in that has held me encased while grace was available. To be potent and not impotent. To be sighted and not blind. To be mobile and not in a state of halt and crippled. I want you and I to consider this morning where we are in our lives as individuals. Are you exactly where you should be? Or have you believed a lie based on tradition? Tradition. The word of God says the tradition of men make the word of God of none effect. What was the tradition? The tradition was they were stuck to the fact that the first person that steps into the water after the water was troubled got healed. That was a tradition. That became their belief system. Why did it happen? And by what reason did the first person who got healed after the troubling water get healed? What instruction? An angel troubled the water, and then somebody went and jumped inside the troubled water and got healed. What made him jump inside the troubled water? Why did he decide to go into that water? Maybe something called faith. In knowing on the inside, I don't want to be here, and the water gets troubled and he jumps in there by faith, gets healed. Maybe other people jumped into that same water, didn't get healed because they did not have faith to believe or to know that this was why. I don't know. But the reality of life is this, that in life you don't do things based on what other people have done, but based on you knowing for yourself. The other day I went looking for something in the store, and I walked past it so many times, and I thought, They don't have it. And I know this has not only happened to me, it's happened to you too. And I asked somebody that worked there, don't you guys have this? And the person went to where I had been going around all this while. And there it was. I said, I walk past this thing so many times. Because I walked around it so many times and did not see it, did not mean that it was not there. Somebody gets healed, and the next person didn't get healed, does not mean the anointing is not present. That you prayed and something did not change does not mean that God's power is not present. It takes a person of faith who believes that I am not leaving here until I get what I came here for, to see change. Because from the same well, some people might draw out water, and some people might get mud. I don't know if you heard what I just said. So don't make decisions based on other people's experiences. Make decisions based on your own personal experience and knowing. God is a good God. This place, it is called Bethesda. The house of mercy. The house of kindness. I must receive mercy. Mercy is, the word of God says, God is not a partial God. If he's blessed anybody, he will bless me too. But what attitude am I coming with? Am I coming with the mindset of, it is not my turn. It's not my time. Or am I coming with a mindset of, God is a good God, and he can bless me now and sustain me in the blessing. Hear God speak. Cain has killed his brother Abel. God has spoken judgment over the life of Cain. He says, just like you did to your brother, somebody's going to do it to you. I put a mark on you, somebody's going to kill you. Because that's what you sowed. The guy cries out to God and says, God, this is too much. This is too much of a judgment. This is too much. And God says, you're right. Now I give another word. Anybody who tries to do what I said to you, I'm going to deal with them. Why? Cain, in all of his messed up thinking, had a sense that God was still a God of mercy. Hezekiah, you're going to die. The prophet of God just comes to you and says, you're going to die. Get ready to die. Why? Are you listening? Okay, good. Hezekiah single-handedly, in obedience to the word of God, had turned the economy of the land around. He'd restored the priesthood. Tithes and offerings and all kinds of sacrifices were being brought to the Lord. But while he was doing all of that good, the guy is sick. He's sick. He has this wound that will not cure. And you think If the guy is doing so much good, how can so much evil be happening to him? And now the prophet of God comes to him with all that good that he's been doing and says, "You're going to die, man. You're going to die. Get your house ready. You're going to die." Hezekiah turns his face to the wall and he says to God, "You must be kidding me. First, I have this wound that's not healing. And don't you remember all the stuff that I've been doing? I changed things around. I walked, even in my pain, out to the street, took courage and went out and saw the heaps of harvest. And I said to the priest, 'What is all this stuff? Who put up all these pyramids of stuff?' He said, 'Well, K.O. King, that's from the offerings of the people. Since you reinstated everything, the people came out with their gifts and they've been prospering beyond measure. This is the leftovers. We've eaten and eaten and eaten and eaten. This is the leftover.'" Huh? God, do you remember that? Isaiah is gone, and God says to Isaiah, "Go back." "Go back where?" "To the king." "Okay. Any more bad news for him?" "No. Go tell him that he's not going to die." "Wait a minute. You want to make me a false prophet? You want to make me a false prophet? I just told the guy he's going to die. Now you're telling me to go tell him that he's not going to die. Which one is it supposed to be?" Can you imagine Isaiah saying to the voice of the Lord, "I rebuke you, devil." Giving me fake news. He said, no. So he goes and tells the guy. Hezekiah says, "Okay. Tell you what. One time you said I'm going to die. Then you come back and say I'm not going to die. I need a sign." "What sign do you want?" He says, "Backup time. Backup time. Let the clock." Isn't it a perfect message for this very moment? We backed up time, didn't we? Ah, yeah. Back up the time. So it is like you never said those words to me that I'm going to die. Back up time. And what did God do? He backed up time. The sun went back down. Hezekiah is healed. He's restored and he's made whole. He said, "Pastor, what are you saying to us?" I'm saying that both possibilities were there all the time. The possibility of victory or the possibility of failing. It was all available. What is it that I'm enjoying that I should not be enjoying in terms of failing when winning was possible all the while? Because I believed the wrong report. I believed the wrong report. Was that report necessarily wrong? No. The fact is, I can choose what report I'm going to believe in. I'm going to go. No, I won't. The enemy can come to you and say, "You're going to die." Tell him that he's the one who's going to die because you're going to live. It Is it true that everything medically says that your body is shut down? Yeah. But what are you going to decide? I remember one of the sons in this house flatlined 7 times in one day. Everything in his system was failing. Just failing, failing. One thing after the other, failing, failing. I remember him basically giving up, and I spoke into his spirit. That's not what's going to happen. But everything the machines were reading said, that's what's going to happen. But no, that's not what's going to happen. Do you receive it? Yes, Pastor. But I'm going to lose my legs. No, you're not. No, you're not. And by the way, even if you did, does that make you less than a person? No. So don't give up your life. Choose life and live. And I'm saying all of that while the family members are saying, pull the plug. And here there comes this pastor saying, now. And the doctor saying, he's done. And pastor, who is not a doctor, is saying, no. And the saints are praying, and they're saying, no. It's a choice. It's a choice. The way you and I live our lives is a decision. I can decide that I'm going to make it, and God will come into agreement with me and say, based on what you have said out of your mouth, so shall I do unto you. This man was at that pool, and all he's living his life on is based on, I have no man, I have no help. When the waters trouble to put me into the pool. If you know that at a certain season, that water gets troubled, and you've been there for 38 years, you must know the timing. It normally happens around this time. And impotent or not, you will crawl your way. Nobody is there to help me. You will crawl your way and hang around that water. So that even if it's your finger that gets inside that water, something's going to happen. Something is going to happen. But what is the decision? What's the decision? So Jesus comes to where the man is lying, and he says to the man, wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to get well? Excuse me? Do you want to get well? Wilt thou be made whole? That's the question the Lord asked him. The Lord asked some wild questions. Wilt thou be made whole? The man says, So I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another stepped down before me. While I am what? Coming. So he's making some attempts. We cannot fault him on that. He's making an attempt. While he was coming, another stepped down before me. It happened the first year, second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year, 20th year, 30th year, 35th year, 37th year, 38th year, trying. But somebody gets ahead of him. Trying. Somebody gets ahead of him. Have you been in that place? You're trying, but somebody gets ahead of you. You're trying. Somebody else. It's always somebody else. It's never your turn. While he's making that statement, the Lord Jesus Christ says to him, rise. 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 Take up thy bed and walk. Rise. What are you talking about? I'm an impotent man. The Bible says, the impotent man answered in verse 7. The impotent man answered. And now the Lord is saying to him, to the impotent man, rise. But don't just rise, take up your bed. Excuse me? I can hardly move. You want me to carry something on myself? Yeah, he said, take your bed with you and walk. Interesting. Interesting. And the Bible says, and immediately the man was made whole. The man was made whole. That's interesting, because he obeyed the instruction. He was giving excuses. Now he obeys the instruction. Do you see that? Point. Yesterday's mistakes and yesterday's thought patterns can be changed in a moment by an act of obedience. I don't know if you heard that. Yesterday's mistakes, yesterday's acts or patterns, belief systems that have caused you to be caged can be changed in a moment by an act of obedience. You just need to obey the instruction. What is God saying? Forget about all the mistakes, all of the challenges, all of the whatever happened in the past. Nobody is here to help me. I tried and I've kept on failing and somebody else was ahead of me. Forget about all of that. And understand that God is speaking to you right this very moment. Jesus is speaking to you. And in fact, this is the real crux of the matter. He didn't know that Jesus was Jesus. He didn't know who Jesus was. He didn't know that Jesus was the anointed one, the Messiah. He didn't know any of that. He just heard somebody telling him, rise up, take your bed and go. He just heard somebody asking him, do you want to get well? Do you know how insulted, how insulted and offensive that statement could possibly be to a man who has been trying and somebody gets ahead of him? What do you mean if I want to get well? What was all that trying about? And who gave you the audacity to come and ask me that silly question? You know, the person that God is going to use to help you break the cycle is a person that may offend you. Now, waking you to the potential that is deep within you. In fact, is you want to get angry. And if the truth be known, you have all the reasons to be angry because you know that you've been trying. And this guy comes and says, do you want to get well? So it's my fault that I'm impotent, right? It's my fault that I'm lying down here for 38 years. It's my fault. That's what you're trying to tell me. It's my fault. It depends on how you interpret the information. While you're here today, there might be something that I might say that might cause you to be offended. Why did the pastor say that? Why did the pastor do that? Why did the pastor ask that? And you didn't know that that is the trigger for your miracle. Do you want to get well? Yeah, I've been trying. Nothing's been happening. Nobody to help me. Just take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Oh, another reason why you shouldn't have listened to him. You don't carry your bed and start walking around when it's the Sabbath. Trying to make me work? Want to get me into trouble? Well, sometimes you need to face trouble head on. And do what you know you need to do to break forth. Because if you wait many times for everything to be all perfectly in order before you move, you might wait forever. But you can trust God in Bethesda for mercy. I need to do this. Lord, if I'm making a mistake, mercy, help me. Hallelujah. Am I speaking to somebody? It says, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured. The word there for cured is the word therapeo. That's an interesting word. Because the Bible says he was healed immediately. But the people said, the Jews said, that he was cured. Now the word therapeo means that he's going to therapeutics. He's getting better and better. It's the slowest word for healing in the Bible. They said to him, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. When anybody is more focused on the rules and regulations rather than in you, the suspect. You mean, I've been in this state for 38 years, and the only thing you have to talk about is that I'm carrying my bed on the Sabbath. That's really what you care about, not that I'm well. You're more about the system than me. He says to them, "He that made me whole." Interestingly enough, the first two holes were words about healing. The framework of that word is the word hugiano. It means to be healthy. But when it comes here, he says, he answered them, "He that made me, I am I." That's the fastest form of healing. So on one side, they're looking at him as somebody who's getting better. And I think the idea is when this guy got up and started walking, maybe his bed had frames to it, and he was using it as a walking stick or whatever. And they say, "Who told you that you could do that? Who told you you can do that?" And the man says, "Hey, the guy who spoke the word to me and told me that I should, that guy who healed me instantaneously. He's the one who was instant. He's the one who told me to take up my bed and walk." And I believe that God wants to do an instantaneous work, not a progressive work. I'm speaking that into my life as I'm speaking it into your life. That God, yes, God does things progressively, step by step by step by step by step, but there are times when God takes a leap. Hallelujah. I want a God who's going to leap over all the steps and cover so much ground immediately. Do you receive that? God doing something, bang, there it is. It should have taken a month, but it took seconds. It should have taken a year, but it took a day. It should have taken a decade, but it took a week. God doing it so quickly, so fast, that all we can say is, "This is the doing of the Lord. This is the doing of the Lord." But all of that, there were a great multitude under the five porches, a great multitude of impotent people, blind people, halt people, withered people. The pool is over there. And they see one of the Ancient of Days at that porch. He's been there 38 years. People came, saw him, left him there. He's been in that same spot 38 years. They see some guy talking to him, and he gets up and starts walking. The water is not troubled. Remember, traditions. Only one person gets healed. Tradition is a lie. Because every single one of them that day could have walked off. Do you understand? Every single one of them could have left those porches and experienced the power of grace. That grace that can get them out of those five porches, that same grace can keep them going the rest of their lives, that they don't need to stay here anymore. But what did they do? They sat down, watched the guy walk away, and did not say to Jesus, "Me too. Me too. I need a miracle myself." Doesn't matter whether I've been here one day, 10 days, a year, 10 years, 20 years. It doesn't matter how long I've been here. I don't want to be here anymore. I'm not tolerating this situation anymore. And this day, I want everyone here to cry out to God and say, "God, this situation cannot remain the same. I'm leaving this mess. Turn this mess to a message in my life. Turn this test to a testimony in my life. Here, I'm not staying no more. I'm not going to be under this encasement anymore. If anybody is getting healed today, I'm getting healed. If anybody is getting blessed today, I'm getting blessed." There was a man called Jacob. He's wrestling with the angel. I said, "You bless me, you're not going anywhere. You are not going anywhere until I get blessed today. Because I got a problem over there called Esau. And that guy can kill me. So you got to bless me. You are going to bless me today." And he wrestles with the guy. He's wrestling and wrestling and wrestling all night long. And it's about the time of the sunrise. And the angel just touched his hip. And got dislocated. What was happening all night long? Could have done that all night long. But the fact is, God was pulling something out of him. You've come to the end of your rope. And you're saying, "You got to bless me." And wait a minute. He didn't know that the guy was an angel. He just knew there was something different about this one that I'm wrestling with. And by the way, why do you just meet somebody and start wrestling with them anyway? There are God times, God times, God times that things that are not normal happen when you are energized on the inside and you have insight that something is in here. And I got to get it. And I believe that that day is today for you and I. God is saying to us, "I'm here. Get it." You need, the Bible says, the violent do what? Take it by force. So we're going to make a decision today. And the decision is this: God, you are God. You have more than enough. And if you give me something, you are not going to be less. Because there are no vacuums in you. From wherever you're taking it off, it's getting filled up because you are never incomplete. Do you understand what I'm talking about? God is never incomplete. No matter how much he pours out to me, he doesn't become less. He's always God. And today I want God to be God in my life, to bless me beyond measure, because it doesn't matter how much he gives out, he still has more than enough. Hey. Okay, let's do it. Rise with me. You talk to God. Let God know there are things in your life that got to be fixed right now. I need to be fixed. I need to be fixed. God, you cannot leave me incomplete. You cannot leave me the way you found me. Something has to happen for me today. Today, I'm not talking about tomorrow anymore. I'm talking about today. I'm talking about now. I'm not talking about me just getting better and better and better and better. No. I'm talking about instantaneous healing, instantaneous deliverance, instantaneous outpouring of favor in this house of mercy. Father, do it for me. Do it for my family. Do it, oh God, for my children and for my children's children and for my children's children's children. Do it, oh God, for this ministry, for this church, for this household of faith. Father, do instantaneous miracles for us. Lord, we reject the lies of the past. Truth, they might have been, because you said it. But Lord, oh God, we are asking, oh God, for a different result. A totally different result. A result that glorifies you. Thank you for the grace to wait. For a man to wait for 38 years for the troubling of the waters so that he can get his healing, says he had faith. Yes. But he had come to believe a lie. So Lord, today in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask, Father, that you erase every lie, every belief system, every iniquity, every pattern that we have held on to for so long, in the mighty name of Jesus, that is not the truth. Lord, erase by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Let it be erased. We refuse to believe that anymore. But we receive a present word, your present word that says to us, rise. Oh, so Father, this day, in the mighty name of Jesus, we no longer lay down, we rise. In the mighty name of Jesus, we rise. We defy every lie of the enemy, every workings of darkness, and we declare your kingdom has come and your will even now is being done in our lives, in the earth, in this your church, in this body. Lord of God, as it is in heaven, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord, Satan, the Lord God Almighty, rebukes you. Father, do exceedingly far beyond that which we dare ask or think. Shut the mouth of every wolf, every lion, every wolf, every fox, every beast. In the mighty name of Jesus, you are shut up. Every marine spirit, shut up. Every reptile, shut up. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, every hindering spirit, you are shut up. In the mighty name of Jesus, we declare that every presence of impotency is replaced by potency. We are potent by the power of the living God.
Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we are not blind. We see in the name of Jesus. We stretch out every withered limb in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, oh God, we do not walk in a halt state. We run. Oh, mighty God, in the name of Jesus, we outrun every Ahab's chariot in the mighty name of Jesus, because your spirit is upon your people. Blessed be your holy name, Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Of your own will, you have begotten us. And that which is begotten from above is above all. Father, we declare, in the name of Jesus, we are above all, more than conquerors, greater, because the greater one lives in us. Thank you, Father. It is so. 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 The change has come. It's a new day. And Lord, we give you praise that in this day, oh yes, your glory is being spoken. For day on today, uttered speech, the speech of your glory. And even in the night, there are revelations or knowledge of who you are and what it is that we ought to do. Thank you for that anointing. We speak it over this, your church. Let every lie that we've believed in be erased and eradicated. Let us now embrace your truth. Your truth is that you've chosen us and you've ordained us to bear fruit, and that our fruit abides, and that whatever we ask the Father in your name will be done unto us. We receive miracles and the manifestation of miracles, increase on every side. And we declare this day, earth, yield your increase unto us now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can I have the presence of the worship team one more time? We're going to share in communion, and we're going to give our offerings unto the Lord. Come quickly. Release your seed of faith. May God multiply and increase that which we sow. I want us to sing "So Long, Bye Bye."
So long, bye bye. So long, bye bye. Goodbye to the pain and the sorrow. So long, bye bye. So long, bye bye. So long, bye bye. Goodbye to the pain and the sorrow. So long.
Goodbye to the sorrow.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye to the pain.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye to the sorrow.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye to the pain.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, fear.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, fear.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, fear.
Bye-bye.
You are welcome here.
Bye-bye.
I can hear you sing.
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 Bye-bye.
Goodbye to the sorrow.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye to the pain.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye to the sorrow.
Bye-bye.
My prayer today is that we make that godly focus decision and not embrace the lies anymore. Amen? If you didn't get it, the lie can be a truth that you don't need to hold on to anymore, because you now hold on to a bigger present truth that releases the favor of God in tangible ways into your life. Jesus, our Lord, gave himself for us. He died on the cross, but we are no longer focused on just what he did on the cross. We focus on the fact that he went to hell. He didn't just die. He went to hell and seized the keys of death and grave, all the power of the enemy, rose again from the dead, and says, all power in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Go, preach the gospel. Go, lo, I am going to be with you all the time. Amen? And he says, come, sit with me in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Things that the enemy has said no longer hold true for you and I. As we take of this body, we take a hold of the body of the risen Lord. And from this moment on, henceforth, continue to rise. Continue to rise. Continue to rise. And may God rise in you. Amen. Take and eat.
Somebody say, I'm delivered.
I am delivered.
I've been set free.
I've been set free.
Somebody say, I'm made whole.
I'm made whole.
I take on the goodness of God.
The goodness of God.
What he has done for me.
What he has done for me.
Is what applies to my life.
That's what applies to my life.
It's what stays in my life.
It's what stays in my life.
It's what's functioning in my life.
It's what's functioning in my life.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Take and drink.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your manifold blessings. We are blessed and highly favored of you. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we'll dwell in the presence of the Lord forevermore. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Well, we'll say bye to those who are listening on YouTube and Facebook. The Lord keep you and sustain you. and help you. Tonight, we have a powerful service. And we want you not to miss it. Those of you that are here, don't miss tonight's service. Participate. Amen? God bless you. Is anyone here for the first time?